Last week, we looked at a passage where Paul was writing to Timothy as a young person in the faith, and he was explaining to Timothy that there were valuable lessons that he could learn as a young leader in the church through three different roles that people play in life, through the soldier, through the farmer, and through an athlete. And this week, we're going to kind of dig in a little bit deeper and keep looking at this illustration of what we can learn in living out our faith through this idea of farming. And so as we do that, I'm going to ask you if you would turn to Galatians chapter 6 in your Bibles. And that's going to be our main passage for today. And we're going to look at a number of other passages as well. But we're going to really focus in on Galatians chapter 6. And so as we think about the book of Galatians, there are lots of important things we could bring up about the book, but there's really one key piece of context for this letter that I think is really important for us to grasp. And that's this, that Paul is writing to the church in Galatia because the gospel is under attack in Galatia. That as he writes to them, and that sounds like an extreme thing to say, but as he's writing to them, what he's seeing, what he's hearing, what he's observing is that these people that he visited, that he taught about the Christian faith, that he lived out the faith with, that there are teachings that have kind of infiltrated into that church that are really subversive and have supplanted the gospel, that in lots of ways that what was explained to the people as what it means to live a life in Jesus has been supplanted by other teachings that are coming in. And so much of this short letter that Paul writes to this church is a defense of the gospel. As we think of chapters 3 and 4 and then chapters 5 and 6, in chapters 3 and 4, we see Paul clearly defending the gospel to the people in Galatia. And he does this through multiple different ways. As the letter opens and really into chapter 3, Paul is sharing his own story of conversion, his own encounter with what it was like for him to move from being this person who was a very zealous and faithful Jew living under the Old Testament law to experience the grace of Christ and to begin to live under the gospel, to live in to the grace of Christ. So he talks about his own personal experience in that. He talks about how the Old Testament law is something that really points us as people to Jesus. How the whole idea of Scripture from the beginning points us to Jesus. It's this defense of who Jesus is and what Jesus was saying. And the reason for that was because there were people that were saying this idea of accepting grace for forgiveness just isn't sufficient. This idea of being declared righteous through grace, through what Jesus did, it's not sufficient in and of itself. We need to keep living under the law. We need to keep practicing the traditions that we followed. And Paul is writing to them to say, that is absolutely not the case. He's writing to them to remind them that it was by grace and through faith that they were saved, and that is the gospel. And then in chapters 5 and 6 in Galatians, there's this account where Paul is encouraging them and really calling on them to live into the new life and the freedom that was provided through the gospel. He's saying, you know, remember what it was like when you came to know the gospel. Remember the new life that you experienced in that moment. Remember the freedom that you experienced in that moment from that burden of feeling like the weight of righteousness was on you. And live into that freedom. And he really encourages them to live into the life of that the Spirit provides and into the leading of God's Spirit. And so it's in part of this section, in Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 7, where Paul writes this. He says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. This is where we get into our farming analogy. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So using this passage as our base, this idea that we reap what we sow, We are going to look at a couple of kind of factors or a couple of rules of farming and rules for how this idea of farming or how growing things is something that can impact the way that we live out a daring faith in our lives. And so the first rule is this, that a seed is no good outside of the dirt. So last year was the first time that Becca and I grew a garden, and we, you know, I put together like a little raised bed, and it was small, and I packed way too many different kinds of things in that raised bed. We had peppers and a couple different kinds of tomatoes and kale and spinach and lettuce and green onions. We had all of these things going on, and it was like everything grew really well. And then since I was like a new gardener and I was surprised that things didn't die, I didn't cut back the tomatoes. And so pretty quickly they overtook everything in the garden and kind of choked out everything else because there was too much that was packed in there. But I was excited that the garden had gone well. And then that fall, last fall, we just got on, you know how you kind of get into ruts or you get into kind of kicks with your diet. And we got into this kick where we were eating a lot of spaghetti squash. And one day we were sitting down, it was kind of late fall, and we were having spaghetti squash. And I said, you know, why don't we plant some spaghetti squash in the garden next year? And Becca said, sure. And so we talked about that. And then because I'm a little bit cheap, I thought, well, there's a lot of seeds in the squash that we have here that we're eating now that we're cleaning out. And so I thought, there's probably some way that I can use those seeds to plant. And so, you know, I kind of looked things up and found out that if I pulled the, you know, the guts, like from the pumpkin, all the seeds and all that other stuff that's inside of there, that if you pulled that out and you put it either in a bucket or you put it in a bowl and you fill it up with water and you put that in a warm, well-lit place, that what happens is that the good seeds will sink to the bottom of the bowl, and the bad seeds and the other guts and stuff will all come up to the top and will actually kind of ferment and rot. And so it was kind of cold outside, so I was doing that in our guest bedroom. So I had rotting spaghetti squash in our guest bedroom so that I could harvest these seeds. And then after you let it sit for a week or two, then you're supposed to pull them out and you're supposed to let them dry in a dark, dry place, a warm place as well. So we, you know, first I got the seeds that were the right seeds, and then I let them dry out. And then it said to kind of finish them off, if you're not planting for a while, you can either put them in an envelope, again, in a place that's really dry and dark, or you could put them in the freezer. So I wrapped them up, and I put the seeds in the freezer. And this fall, we have harvested exactly zero spaghetti squash from our garden. And the reason for that is because the seeds are in the freezer. I went through the whole process. I didn't buy the seeds. This spring I got busy and I forgot that we put the seeds there. It wasn't until it was kind of like time to harvest things that I thought, you know, those seeds are still sitting in our freezer right now. And this is what Paul's getting at when he says, a man reaps what he sows in verse 7. And a lot of times in our life, we don't really want to reap what we sow. You know, I wanted spaghetti squash. I had good intentions around growing spaghetti squash. But I didn't get any because I didn't sow any of those seeds. And for us, what we really desire lots of times is that we're able to reap what we didn't sow. That we're able to reap, that we're able to harvest what we had every intention of sowing. That we're able to reap what someone else sowed and did the work on our behalf. Or that we're able to look at someone else's life and say, I'd really like to harvest, you know, I'd really like to reap what they're harvesting, even though we're sowing lives that are very different. In this passage, what we see, kind of one of the rules of planting seed, is that we have to put it in the dirt for it to grow. That we have to kind of stop talking about certain things and start living out those things, even if it's in small ways, and then that will grow in us. If we want to be generous people, we shouldn't wait for someone to ask for help before we offer to help. If we want to be people that extend grace to others, we shouldn't wait for them to say they're sorry for us to extend that grace to them. If we want to be people that demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit, which we're going to talk about a little bit, that are also in this passage, then we need to be people that start planting those seeds in the way that we live our lives. There are a few people that this quote has been attributed to, so it's kind of impossible to know where it really originated from. But there's a well-known quote that says, "The road to hell is paved with good intentions." And that idea is valid. We need more than our intentions to live out our faith, to live out our faith. We need to start actually planting those seeds so that we can be people that reap the harvest. So that's the first rule, that a seed is no good outside of the dirt. The second is this, that what we harvest is what we have planted. And you're thinking right now, this is rocket science, right? That you have to plant seeds for them to grow, that you get the seed, that you get the plants from the seeds that you grow. It's so simple. But what we harvest is what we have planted. And in the passage that we looked at today, what it explains is that whether we're living good or bad, whether we're sowing good seeds or bad seeds, what we can expect to harvest is exactly the seeds that we are planting, is exactly the plants that we are cultivating. And this is true in all aspects of our life, right? If we just think of one example, if we think of our physical health, so we are all unique in this room. Our bodies are different in lots of ways. We all look different. There are certain things that some of us are, you know, just our bodies are predisposed to, whether that's a strength or a sickness, an illness. There are allergies some people have that other people don't have. Some people are tall, some people are short. There are all kinds of differences that we have in our genetic makeup. But at the end of the day, if we want to be physically healthy, there are a couple things that we all need to do, right? And they're simple. We know that we need to eat healthy diets. We know that we need to stay well hydrated. We know that we need to get plenty of rest. And we know that we need to have some sort of physical activity or exercise that's in our lives regularly. For all of the differences that are among us, there are kind of four simple things that say, if you sow those seeds, if you plant those seeds in your life, you'll probably live a pretty healthy life. And there are exceptions, and there are certainly things that play into that. But at the end of the day, there are you know, millions of books and fad diets and pseudo-medical science publications and all kinds of things that tell us all about how we can achieve physical health. But at the end of the day, it's pretty simple. If we do certain things, we'll be pretty healthy. If we don't do certain things, we probably won't experience that same level of physical health. And that idea is so true in areas of our life, that if we sow positive seeds, if we do the right things, then the outcomes typically work out well. And if we sow negative things, we reap a harvest that is negative. In some of the small group materials that go along with this series in this Daring Faith study, Rick Warren says this, and I think it's a good highlighter or a good reminder for us. He says, we cannot sow irresponsibility and reap success. We cannot sow laziness and reap a reward. We cannot sow stinginess and reap a blessing. Paul makes it clear. If we sow in accordance with the desires of our flesh, it leads to destruction. And if we sow a life that is pleasing to the Spirit, a life that's living out the empowerment the Spirit provides for us, that we reap eternal life. It's laid out pretty clearly in the text and in this passage. The third rule is this. And this is kind of, you know, a place where it feels a little different than actual gardening, actual farming for us maybe. Is that you are not the only person sowing seed. Well, one of the most important things for us to recognize in our faith, and one of the more difficult things, or it's both positive and negative things in life, is that in sowing a life of faithfulness, we need to recognize that we are not the only people out there who are sowing seed. We are reaping the good and the bad from the people that sowed into our lives. There are experiences that all of us have had. Some of them are very positive experiences. Some of us, you know, had great experiences in our family. Some of us had people that really poured into us and invested into our lives and into our faith and prayed for us and cared for us. And some people didn't have that kind of an experience. And we need to recognize that we aren't the only people who are out there sowing seed. If we need a reminder of that, you know, lots of us can look to the weeds that are in our gardens, the things that are there that we never intended to be there, things that we never planted there, the dandelions that spring up in our yards, or the clover patches that kind of pop up that can be annoying at times. There are other people that are involved in that process of planting, and it's a reminder for us that we are not just sowing our own lives, but that we have an impact on our spouses, on our children, on our parents, on our siblings, on our friends, on our family members and extended families. That the way we live, the lives that we sow, reap a harvest. That they have eternal significance. In John 4:37, there's this passage where Jesus is talking to his disciples. And in the passage, he's talking to them about... Initially, they're encouraging him to slow down and eat something, and then he kind of twists this metaphor into talking with them about evangelism. And he says this to them in John 4:37, "Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true." You know, for us in this room, we recognize that, that we will sow things into people's lives that we might never harvest. Or and vice versa, that whenever we encounter people, that we're not the only person that's speaking into their lives, that they've had lots of people along life's way. So we need to recognize that we are not the only people who are sowing seed. Then the fourth kind of role or factor of planting is this, that we don't plant and harvest in the same season. And for us, maybe one of the most difficult ideas in sowing and planting or in sowing and harvesting, is this idea that we don't plant and harvest in the same season. You know, technology is incredible in so many ways, right? We can FaceTime with someone else on the other side of the world, and we can have sort of a face-to-face discussion with them in a moment's notice. The times that we have to wait for packages to be delivered has forever kind of been ruined by Amazon Prime's two-day shipping. And in major cities now, they have same-day shipping that you can pay an additional price for, and you can order something in the morning and it's at your house in the afternoon. I mean, anything longer than 2 days feels like an eternity, and sometimes we think, maybe I don't even need it. You know, we don't even order it at points. So technology's advanced in the way, the speed that we're able to accomplish things. Technology has advanced in incredible ways in the medical field, you know, where their doctors are able to do procedures that are much less invasive so that people can heal more quickly. Doctors are able to do things that promote healing in a faster pace, where they're able to kind of do all of these things that 100 years ago were unfathomable and that even 10 years ago they were unable to accomplish. There have been so many advances in technology. And in farming, that's true as well. You know, that certainly there's a whole industry around genetically modified plants that are bred to produce certain results and be resistant to certain things. There's absolutely technological advancements that have taken place in farming, you know, when you look at the tractor and different things like that, the way that we cultivate soil, the way that we cultivate plants. It has all advanced, but at the end of the day, there's still the reality for farmers that there's a season where they plant things and a season where they harvest things. We haven't been able to bypass that process. That if we're going to reap a harvest, we need to put in the work of doing the planting and the cultivating. The writer of Ecclesiastes gets this when in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says this, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot." The problem is that whenever we struggle with this idea that we can't plant and harvest in the same season, is that we lack patience and forbearance for those difficult periods of life, or those periods of life where we find ourselves waiting for the harvest. This is why Paul ends our verse today in Galatians 6:9 by saying, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." If it was an easy thing to wait, Paul wouldn't have to say this, right? If it was an easy thing to just kind of sit back and rest after we've planted, Paul wouldn't have to write this. If we got things immediately, Paul wouldn't have to write this. that some of us in this room have been in a position where we planted seeds, where we felt like we waited for something and then the waiting got too hard and we kind of abandoned it. Some of us have been in a position in this room where we tried to sow seeds of faithfulness. We tried to plant seeds of faithfulness in our lives and we got to seasons where it just felt too difficult, where we became weary in doing good, and so we kind of abandoned that process. Seeing the harvest to the end is not always easy. There are obstacles that come up along the way, but we need to be people that are willing to stick out the difficult seasons of waiting and persevere to receive the harvest. The fifth rule is this, that we reap in proportion to what we sow. And this is, in lots of ways, this is simply the idea of proportions. And again, not rocket science. If a farmer goes out and he plants 1 acre of a certain crop, and another farmer goes out and plants 2 acres of that crop, the one who plants 2 will likely harvest more than the one who plants 1. We see this idea in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And last week, we read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. We're going to read verses 6 to 8 this week. It says this, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." And in this idea, Paul is specifically talking about this idea of fostering generosity in people's lives. But even bigger than this idea of generosity, we have this teaching. You know, if we sow a little bit of seed, we have a little bit of harvest. If we sow a lot of seed, we have a lot of harvest. And while on a certain level, this is again something that makes sense in lots of areas of our lives, there's something unique about this in regards to our spiritual lives that Paul hits on. He talks about this idea in our spiritual lives, not just that, in this example of generosity, which applies to other areas as well, that when we seek to live out our lives faithfully to God, that when we seek to plant and sow in the life of the Spirit, that there are blessings that are attached to that. That there's a harvest of blessing that is reaped in proportion to how we plant, in proportion to what we sow. When we sow a life of faithfulness, it is not for us to earn salvation. It is not for us to demonstrate how good we are. It's not for us to see some certain return on investment, just like in planting. But in that process, when we do this, and Paul makes it clear that it's not under compulsion, that it's not something that we feel reluctant and that we have to do. When we sow those seeds of faithfulness, there's a blessing that's attached to that. And the final rule, the final factor is this, that the time to plant is now. That the time for planting is the present. In Ecclesiastes, again, to look at that book, there's this beginning part in chapter 11 in Ecclesiastes where the writer is telling people basically, you know, he's giving the same advice that every mutual fund manager, retirement account manager gives, and he's talking about people, the need to diversify their options in life. The need to invest in a couple different possibilities for their future so that one thing will work out for them. And in that passage, he says this in verse 4, "Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap." And so in this passage, he's talking about people being prepared for their futures. But when he's talking about the farmer, he says this, that if the farmer waits for the ideal conditions, if the farmer's always looking to the weather to decide if it's a good day to plant or to cultivate his crops or to harvest his crops, then the work isn't going to get done. Later on in that same passage, he says that the farmer needs to plant his seed at morning and his seed at night. Because he needs to be faithful in putting the seed out and doing the work to have those options. And if we did that in our lives, the work wouldn't get done. If in our spiritual lives we only wait to sow those seeds of faith until it's the opportune time, until it feels like the perfect time, then we'll never sow those seeds of faith. If we wait to serve people until we have everything in our lives figured out, we'll never serve people. If we wait to really, embrace spiritual disciplines and get serious about reading scripture, about a life of prayer, about putting into practice a lot of the things that we talk about and that we see in scripture, if we wait until we have an abundant amount of free time or free resources, we'll always keep waiting. The reality is that we need to start planting those seeds in our spiritual life now. We need to start sowing those seeds now. And that's the same, again, this is practical in all areas of life. If we waited in our jobs for the perfect opportunity where conditions were ideal for us to show up for work, or where a project and a proposal was a no-brainer and completely lined up and there wasn't any risk before we started into it, if we waited until the ideal conditions were present in many of our jobs, we would never advance. We would never step forward. We would never make it into the office. The writer of Ecclesiastes is saying that a farmer can't wait for a perfect day to sow his seeds. And that lesson is true for us as well. That as we seek to be people who are living life in the Spirit, we need to start sowing those seeds in the present. So there are these six factors. I'll read them all again, and they'll be up on a slide here. So a seed is no good outside of the dirt. What we harvest is what we've planted. We are not the only people who are sowing seeds. We don't plant and harvest in the same season. We reap in proportion to what we sow, and the time to plant is now. These are some of the lessons that we see as Paul instructs us to sow a life in the Spirit. And I imagine that in a room this size, some of us throughout this message, it's probably easy to jump to some personal applications during this message. You know, I know even as I was typing up this message and sitting back, there were some practical things in life that I thought, you know, if this is something that I see in our family's future, there are probably some things we need to start doing now to get there. For example, if I want spaghetti squash next fall, I'll have to plant those seeds next spring. If they're still good, I don't even know. I'll probably end up buying seeds next spring. But if we want a certain future laid out, we need to start thinking about what seeds need to be sown now to get us there. And so there are lots of really practical life applications that we can take away from this thought. But what I really want us to do this morning is to think about the spiritual applications of what Paul is writing when he tells us that we will reap what we sow. When he explains to us that we have a choice in life to sow negative things or to sow positive things. And that we can't give up or get tired of waiting for that harvest to come. And so this morning, I really want to encourage you to take some time this afternoon. And look, I know some people might be tired from last night's game, but the Steelers don't play until 4:00. The Eagles don't play until tomorrow. So this afternoon, I want to encourage you to take some time to answer this question. What are the things I am sowing into my spiritual life right now? And that can be a tough question to answer. And I know that because after I wrote that question, I sat there for a while and I thought, what are the things I'm sowing into my spiritual life right now? What are the seeds that I'm planting? What is the harvest that I'm anticipating in the future? And so I want you to sit and to think about that, to think how are you seeking to grow closer to Christ in your life right now? And not just how are you intending to grow closer to Christ, but how are you seeking that? How are you living that out? What are the things that you're doing to cultivate that kind of a harvest? Let's ask the question, what are we seeking to do to live in the way he has called us to live and on the mission that he has set out before us? And some of you might be thinking, I'm not only not sure what I'm sowing, I don't even know what I should be trying to plant. I don't even know what I should be hoping to harvest. at the end of this. I'm not sure what I should do now to be sowing something that will reap a harvest later on. And if you find yourself in that position, I would encourage you to spend some time in Galatians 5, the chapter before our chapter today, and specifically in Galatians 5, verses 22, and in the first part of verse 23, Paul lays out the fruit of the Spirit. So these are the evidences of the Spirit, the fruit. This is what is harvested at the end of planting. And he says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." If you want to have a list to compare your life to say, what are the things I'm sowing into my spiritual life and what are the things that are absent? This is a pretty good place to start that comparison. This is a pretty good place to use in that evaluation process. And so I really want to encourage you to do this. I want you to sit down and take some time to answer that question. What are the things that I'm sowing into my spiritual life right now? What are the practices that I'm engaging in and the things I hope to get out of that? And then once you have that list, I would encourage you to think about our passage from today where Paul says there are things we are sowing that are negative and there are things we're sowing that are positive. And to identify on the list you've already made, what are the positive things here and what are the negative things here? And from that, to take away, what are the things you need to stop sowing in your life right now and what are the things that you need to continue sowing? Or what are the things that you need to seek to start sowing in your spiritual life? And really, if you sit down and you take 20 minutes or a half an hour to do that today, then that's a great thing. And that's a good start. But that probably won't translate into much tomorrow. So I'd encourage you, after you come up with a list, after you think through, well, what are these ways that I can be sowing a life of faithfulness, that you would share that with someone else, that you share that with your spouse, that you share that with a friend who's a Christian brother or sister, that you share that with someone who helps keep you accountable or straight in life, or that you put that in a place where you'll see it. You know, if you have a place where you keep a request that you pray for on a regular basis, that you keep that list there. If you have a place that will be a good reminder for you to see it, that you put that list there so that it's something that you keep in front of you. Because the reality is that like the passage in Ecclesiastes said, we need to be people who are sowing seed in the morning and in the evening. We need to be people who are sowing seed now in anticipation of reaping the harvest later. We need to be people who continue on in the hard work like Paul talks about, who don't give up when things become difficult, but we look to the harvest that we'll reap in the future.